Right now, I'm very happy to introduce our next guest, and that is Lee Ferris, Senior Organizer on a State and Federal Tax Policy with the group United for a Fair Economy. Lee, thank you for being here with us tonight.
Thanks for having me on, Scott.
Well, Lee, before we get started on tax policy and the election and the other things that are being debated in the country, tell us a little bit about United for a Fair Economy.
Well, United for a Fair Economy is about 15 years old. We're a national organization that's based in Boston, Mass., and we're all about shining a spotlight on the problem of growing economic inequality in terms of both income and wealth. And part of our work includes popular education workshops so that people can learn more about that in a non-scary way. And part of our work includes calling attention to the racial wealth divide, where we demonstrate that there are structural government policy reasons that have led to whites having a dollar for every 10 cents in wealth that blacks have. And then we have a lot of work on federal and state taxes, because our tax system is contributing to the problem of economic inequality and making it worse. When tax rates are lower on the very wealthy, given that more and more income is flowing to the very wealthy, it's a double whammy in terms of economic inequality getting worse.
I want to thank you, Lee, and everybody there at United for a Fair Economy, because I've gone to you guys year after year to talk about this issue, which I find quite compelling. All these many years I've been doing this radio show, and you're one of the few groups out there that's been really focusing like a laser beam on economic inequality. Now, of course, since the Occupy movement came on the scene last September in Zuccotti Park in New York, the whole country's talking about it for a change, which is great. And I think it's certainly changing to some extent our politics in this country, and certainly what we're talking about in terms of the economy. But you guys have been on this for many, many years, and I appreciate all the incredibly important work you do on that topic. So thanks to you, Lee, and to everybody there.
Well, and we do appreciate very much the attention that the Occupy movement has put on to the problem of economic inequality, and we do think that they have helped to change the conversation. And I think that's part of why President Obama decided it was good politics to support the Buffett rule on with regard to taxes. So he certainly has been out there working hard to build support for the Buffett rule. He didn't succeed in terms of the vote that the Senate took today, but I think that he has been doing a good job of talking about why we need to tax wealthy people more than our country has been doing that.
Lee, this is a big topic, and it's connected to the election this year, the idea of taxes and fairness. And I wondered if you'd review, as we begin here, review for our listeners, if you would, how the tax burden has shifted in the U.S. since the election of Ronald Reagan in 1980 and his policies being implemented in 1981. The trickle-down philosophy seems to have won the day, politically anyway, for year after year after year, and we've seen pretty much steady decline on the tax rate on the wealthiest people in the country and a steady increase in taxes on working families.
Well, that's right, and what you've seen is that even just in the last 10 years, that tax rate has really shifted downwards for the very wealthy people. So it's a 30-year trend of downward or lessening tax rates for wealthy people, and that's why you get situations like what Warren Buffett was complaining about, where he's saying that his tax rate is lower than his secretary's tax rate. And there are numbers of millionaires and billionaires that are in that situation. And one of the reasons they're in that situation is that the tax code is shifted towards wealth. So folks that already have money get lower tax rates than people who don't have money yet. It seems really crazy, but for example, investment income such as capital gains when you sell stock, or dividends that get paid annually on stock, that gets taxed at a maximum of 15% a year, whereas income from work for people that earn several hundred thousand dollars, that gets taxed at 35% a year. And where's the sense in that? Because most of the people that have the capital gains and dividend income are the wealthiest 1%, people that are having more than $1 million a year in income. So that's one of the problems. Another of the problems is that the Bush tax cuts cut tax rates for everybody, but they cut them more for very wealthy people that are earning hundreds or of thousands or millions of dollars a year. So under President Clinton, the highest rate for that regular kind of work income used to be 39.6%, and now because of President Bush, it's 35%. And then another tax that has been, that only affects the very wealthy, that has been reduced a lot, is the estate tax. And that's the tax that multimillionaires, heirs, pay when somebody passes on and their estate passes on. And that, under President Clinton, you could pass $1 million tax-free, which is quite a lot of money. But now, because of George Bush and further cuts that the Republicans in Congress extracted from President Obama, now you can pass on first $3.5 million tax-free, and under this new arrangement that's temporary, $5 million per spouse tax-free, which means $10 million tax-free for a couple, which is just a crazy amount of money that for someone to be able to inherit tax-free. You know, if you won that in the lottery, for sure you'd be paying quite a lot of taxes on it, but not under our current tax system. And those are just three examples of the way the tax system is rigged for the wealthiest and richest 1%, and that's why we do need tax solutions for the 99%.
Yeah, and I'd like to get to United for a Fair Economy's agenda for reform, for changes in the tax system. But I wondered if you'd respond to the so-called trickle-down theory. For decades, Republicans and conservatives and big corporations and the wealthy elite in the country have talked about the trickle-down philosophy that says raising taxes on the wealthiest individuals and corporations will reduce investment in new enterprises and limit or hurt the creation of new jobs. And, of course, the idea that somehow higher taxes would hurt the creation of jobs is a sensitive issue in an economy that has been, you know, ripped apart by so much unemployment. But how do you respond to the idea that taxing wealthy individuals and corporations at a higher rate at this point will somehow hurt job creation?
Well, basically, I think it's a lot of malarkey. The reason why businesses are not creating jobs is they don't have customers with money to buy their goods. It's pretty straightforward. We, United for a Fair Economy, just put out a book that talks in part about this, the self-made myth, and it's about the myth of the self-made successful business person. And in that book, we show that, in fact, any business person is going to be getting somewhere with the help of investments that everybody has made together through the government, whether it's the internet, roads, bridges, whether it's an educated populace. And the business people that we profile in that book say in so many words that their tax rate has never affected any investment decision that they've made. They are only looking at whether they're going to be able to make a profit, and that the main thing that determines whether they can make a profit is whether they can get customers. And right now, with so many unemployed people and people scared that they're going to lose their job, then people are less likely to buy things, whether it's, you know, a computer or whether it's a service. People are still worried, and they still don't have enough cash to buy things.
We're speaking tonight with Lee Ferris, senior organizer on estate and federal tax policy with the group United for a Fair Economy. What can you tell us, Lee, about public opinion when it comes to raising taxes on the wealthy? The few polls that I've looked at in recent months speak of dramatic majorities of people, Democrats, independents, and even Republicans in favor of increasing the tax rate on the wealthiest people in this country. It's interesting that the Republican Party is opposing this very staunchly, is opposing any increase on tax rates staunchly, even though a majority in their party seem to favor it, at least on the wealthiest 1 or 2%.
Well, you're right. That is what the polls show, and it's very strong. It's anywhere from 60-some percent up to as high as about 80% of people, depending on the poll, that support increasing taxes on the wealthy. And, you know, it seems like that should be something that everybody can agree on, that they would do first, and then they would see, okay, how much money left over after that would we need to either raise other people's taxes or cut the spending on programs that everybody is counting on. And instead, Republicans are saying and have said for years that no tax increases on anyone are allowed. They're not even allowed to have taxes that are automatically expiring, where the Republicans and President Bush set them up to last for 10 years. Even those taxes, when they automatically expire at the end of 10 years, cannot be permitted to expire, because they consider that a tax increase, whereas it was supposed to be a temporary tax cut. So, yeah, politically they've really dug their feet in, but the American people are very sensible in a lot of ways, and they recognize that when you have this kind of situation that we were talking about, of income going so much more to the very wealthy than it used to, that the only sensible thing to do when you need more money to run the government is to go to the very wealthy who are getting most of the economic gains. So, interestingly, you know, one of the reasons why that Republican position exists is this guy called Grover Norquist, with a group called Americans for Tax Reform in D.C. And a couple of decades ago, he started this pledge that he tries to get.
Hi, we're back, and unfortunately, we had a drop off there with our guest Lee Ferris. Lee, are you there?
I am.
All right. Well, apologies for our technical mishap there, but maybe you could recap just what you were saying about the issues of inequality here generally, but more specifically, I'm lost track of where we were trying to get this phone back in the line. But recap where you were, if you could.
Yes. One of the points I was making is that some of the Republican resistance to raising any taxes on anyone at any time comes because they've signed a pledge to Grover Norquist, who has an organization called ATR in D.C., and for a couple of decades, he's been getting politicians in Congress, particularly Republicans, to sign this pledge that they will not raise taxes any time for any reason. And so United for a Fair Economy is working with a bunch of other organizations, national organizations in D.C., to have a demonstration tomorrow against Grover Norquist and to draw attention to his pledge and the fact that when people get elected, they're supposed to pledge allegiance to the country. They're not supposed to pledge allegiance to Grover Norquist. And we're making the point that it's unpatriotic for people to say that not paying taxes, particularly for the wealthy folks to not pay taxes, is more important than little kids to have food in their stomach for school lunch or little kids to get Head Start. We think that's unpatriotic. And that's why we have a component of our work called Responsible Wealth, where wealthy people speak out in favor of higher taxes on themselves. And I think that that's far more patriotic to do than to pledge allegiance to Grover Norquist.
Indeed. And before we run out of time, Lee, if you would review for our listeners, tell our listeners a bit about your organization, United for a Fair Economy's tax solutions for the 99%. It's a program that would rebalance our tax system to be fairer to working families and make sure that the wealthiest people in the country actually pay for some of the services that they use as individuals with lots of bucks.
Right. Well, people can see what we're saying on our website, which is faireconomy.org, and right on our homepage where it says Tax Solutions for the 99%, when you click through there, you'll come to actions you can take around tax day. And one of the actions is to sign a letter that we will be sending to Obama and Congress. And that letter talks about our positions on taxes. So I would encourage all your listeners, if they like what they're hearing, to check that out and to sign the letter. So specifically, we're saying that we need to end the Bush tax cuts. And this is a pretty radical position. We're saying that because they all expire at the end of this year, and we don't think Congress is going to get it together to just extend.
We've had another dropout there. We're making records here on this show for a phone dropout. Let's see what we can come up with here. Unfortunately, we've got more problems with the phone. Let's see if we can just finish up that sentence and get her back on the air. I'm hoping that we can do that shortly. Stay with us. Okay, we're back, and we're back with Lee Ferris of United for a Fair Economy. We're just trying to finish up here before the phone blanks out on us again. We're both at a loss to figure out what the technical problem here is. But Lee, could you tell us just the quick version of the basic planks of this 99% tax solution program?
Right. Well, as I was saying, people can see the details, the specifics on our website at faireconomy.org under Tax Solutions for the 99%, and there's a great letter people can sign to Congress and President Obama. And the specifics are to end the Bush tax cuts altogether, just let them expire at the end of this year, to return to the level of the estate tax that we would have had under President Clinton, and to return to the level of the capital gains tax that we had under President Reagan. And that would mean that capital gains and dividends are taxed at the same rate as income, as I was describing earlier in the show. So people can check that out on faireconomy.org.
All right. Well, Lee, thanks. I'm sorry for all the technical issues. Not sure. We'll see what happens on the next interview, and hopefully you won't have any cutoff phone calls on your end. But thanks so much for sharing your thoughts on tax fairness with us tonight. And, yeah, give the website one more time. It's faireconomy.org, right?
That's right.
Okay.
And check out Tax Solutions for the 99% and sign the letter to Congress and President Obama.
All right. Well, thanks, Lee. We'll certainly stay in touch because this is a big issue and it's not going away. And certainly this election year, it hopefully will be one of the top agenda items of the candidates. So
right. And people should pay a lot of attention because the big vote is going to be right after the election in November when they know who won and who lost. And we're calling it Taxageddon. So it's going to be huge.
A lot at stake. Thank you so much, Lee. Appreciate
you
spending time with us tonight.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that's Lee Ferris, senior organizer in estate and federal tax policy with the group United for a Fair Economy.